temptation is defined as the desire to do something, especially something wrong or unwise. And temptation is something we don't like to talk about. After all, if we admit our temptations, then that may lead to conversations about times when we've given in to those temptations, when we have actually done those wrong things. If we admit our temptations, then that may lead to conversations about the parts of ourselves that we aren't eager to share, the parts that are broken or different from how we want to be perceived. And yet life is full of temptation. And this is about far more than sex, drugs, and rock and roll. In fact, some of the greatest temptations we face are the ones we are hesitant or even unable to recognize as temptation. Some of the greatest temptations we face are the ones that our culture has applauded, even as our faith cautions us against them. Over the next several weeks, as summer winds into fall, we are going to explore some familiar Bible stories from the Gospel of Luke while asking questions about the temptations into which we too often fall. We are beginning that journey today with the story of the Good Samaritan. And this is a story with which we are quite familiar. In fact, the language of Good Samaritan has been adopted by our culture and is understood to refer to those who assist people, especially strangers who are in need. We even have what we call Good Samaritan laws on the books in many states, offering protection to those people who offer assistance. So you don't have to be a church person or even a Christian to know the core message of this story. Jesus, having been asked, "And who is my neighbor?" answers by telling a story. In this story, a man is traveling along a dangerous and winding road and is beaten and left for dead. As he lay along the roadside with the possibility that each breath might be his last, two people pass by. Now we remember that these are not just any people, but people of respected positions within their society. And yet, just when we start to hear the hero's music in the background, just when we think someone is coming to save him, Jesus tells us that they pass on by. Of course, Jesus doesn't tell us why, and many attempts to answer this question have been made. They were people of position, people with responsibilities, and if we want to think of them in the best light, then we might assume that they had somewhere to be, that they were on a time schedule, even that they would call for help and send someone back to assist this man when they arrived at their destination. Because after all, we are respectable people with many responsibilities who know what it is to have schedules that are too full. We are people who want to be on time and to show up where we are expected. We are people who have inevitably rushed by someone in need because we just didn't have the time or energy to respond. And because of all of these realities in our own lives, we want to not think too badly of these two characters. But they did not stop. They did not respond. And so Jesus continues on, as we will remember, with his story, and a third passerby enters the picture. This one was a Samaritan, one who would have been anticipated to be an antagonist, one who would have been expected to be in opposition or even to further hurt the man who had been left along the roadside. After all, to Jesus' familiar audience, likely Jewish people just like himself, a Samaritan would have been considered an enemy or at least someone to be very cautious around and suspicious of. So imagine the surprise of those listening when it was this person who turned out to be the helper. When it was this person who stopped in the midst of what was surely for him also a busy day. When it was this person who shared his resources with a stranger. When it was this person who risked himself for someone he did not know. This past week at General Assembly, I and some others in this room heard this story retold with a modern scenario. It went something like this. A homeless man sat alongside the road holding a sign, "Will work for food." He was bloodied and battered. A clergy person passing by in his car saw the person and pulled into the other lane and drove on by. A lawyer, walking back to the office, saw the man, crossed over to the other side, and just kept walking. A tired worker, on his bicycle on the way home from a cleaning job, saw the man at a distance, rode quickly over, even though it meant going out of his way, jumped off his bike, and in spite of his own undocumented status, called 911. He waited with the hurt stranger until the emergency responders arrived, even though he risked being arrested because of his status. He gave his number to the homeless man and told him that when he was released from the hospital, if he still needed a place to live, he could call. Who was the neighbor? See, this isn't just a story of Bible times, but this is a story that is told time and time again in our lives. This is a story that happens over and over again as we make choices to pay attention to the people around us or simply to put our heads down, stick to our schedules, and play it safe. Too often, we are those who just pass by. Too often, we justify our neglect of those in need because we are busy, because we are doing something else meaningful, because we can't help everyone. Too often, we justify our neglect of those in need by telling ourselves that they probably put themselves in that position anyway, by telling ourselves that they are likely a danger to us, by telling ourselves that somebody else will help. And the reality is that in so many ways, our culture applauds our choice to walk on by. We send messages day after day about looking out for number one. We send messages that lull us into falsely believing that everyone is on a level playing field and can just pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. We send messages fooling ourselves into believing that we are self-made people. We send messages that say that busyness is a badge of honor, and we get so caught up in our own calendars, we quit even being present in the world. We quit building meaningful relationships. How many of us have family stories of grandmothers who fed itinerant workers during the Depression? Or family stories of cars breaking down along a deserted road and having someone, a stranger, stop to help? We tell these stories with pride and admiration, and yet too often we forget that we are still called to live them. There are so many things that get in the way of our stopping and helping. We are busy. We are too busy. And we can name that, but we have gotten so sucked into the messages of our culture that we forget to do anything about it. Not only are we busy, but we hold so many preconceived notions about other people, so much implicit bias that is so deeply embedded in us that we don't even recognize how it impacts our reactions to other people, especially to those who are different from us. And we are scared. We are surrounded by so many messages of fear that we struggle more and more each day to trust people we encounter. We struggle more and more each day to value people more than things and to see the humanity in our neighbors. And so the temptation to walk on by is an easy one to fall into. And yet our faith calls us to another place. Our faith calls us to pay enough attention to the people around us that we recognize and see their need. Our faith calls us to be willing to share our resources and even to risk ourselves for the care of another. And this story reminds us that we are not only called to respond to the needs of those who are hurting, but that we are called to open our eyes to the places where those we might be uncomfortable with are the ones who are helping. Friends, the temptation to walk by is great, and yet Jesus calls us to another way. And so today we begin or continue this journey with confession. I'm going to invite us to pray together. As you hear me pray, we have simply walked on by. I invite you to pray, forgive us, O God. Let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, all people are your people. And yet we confess that too often we have divided ourselves, we have claimed our separate tribes, we have vilified the other, and too often when we see others who are hurting, we have simply walked on by. We are reminded that you call us to be committed to the care of humanity, and yet we confess that too often we have chosen busyness or fear or bias instead of care, and we have simply walked on by. We are reminded that you value people more than things, and yet we confess that sometimes our values are the opposite. Sometimes we have spent so much energy protecting our things and locking our doors and saving for our futures that instead of sharing our resources, we have simply walked on by. God, we hear your call today. And we ask that you strengthen us to respond. Help us to set aside the messages of this world in exchange for the messages of your heart. Help us to become people who are willing to see the humanity in all others and who are willing to engage in life-giving action that all may know your love. Amen.